My name is Jane Goodall. I've spent almost 40 years learning about the chimpanzees in Gombe National Park in Tanzania in Africa. I wanted to go to Africa and live with animals and write books about them ever since I was a tiny little girl. And finally I saved up money, got out there, and was fortunate enough to meet the late Louis Leakey. And I think he realized that Yahia was somebody who didn't care about boyfriends and parties and clothes and just wanted to be out there with the animals. So he eventually managed to get the money for me to go and try and find out something about the behavior of a group of chimpanzees. His reasoning was that because they're our closest living relatives, he thought that learning about their behavior in the wild might help him to have a better feeling for how our own earliest ancestors may have behaved. Over the years, one of the things that's been most fascinating is how like us chimpanzees are in their behavior, or we could even say how like them we are. The kind of things that are very exciting, if we think about the behavior of early man, is the fact that chimpanzees use and even make tools. And that was particularly exciting when I first saw it, because at that time it had been thought that humans and only humans used and made tools. We were defined as man the toolmaker. And I saw chimpanzees not only using grasses to fish for termites from their underground burrows, but sometimes picking leafy twigs and stripping away the leaves. So the beginning of the tool making. And it was also fascinating to find that chimpanzees were not the peaceful vegetarians that everyone had thought, but that they sometimes hunt and hunt successfully in groups, showing sophisticated cooperation, and they share the food, which other non-human primates in the wild don't. And they have a dark side just as we do. We found that they are actually capable of a kind of primitive warfare. And in addition, we find in the non-verbal communication patterns, chimpanzees may kiss, embrace, hold hands, pat one another on the back, and they do these things in the same kind of context that humans do them, so they seem to mean the same kind of thing. I can never forget the day when I was following my favorite chimp of all time, David Greybeard, and he disappeared in that tangle of vines. I thought I'd lost him. I found him sitting by a stream, and near him was a ripe red fruit of an oil nut palm. So I picked it up and offered it to him, as it's one of their favorite foods. And he looked at it, and he took it, but he didn't want it, so he dropped it. But with the same movement, he very gently held my hand and gave a slight pressure. And that is a chimpanzee reassurance. So that David and I were able to communicate without words, and that communication seemed to come directly from an ancient shared ancestor millions of years before. This long-term study of chimpanzee behavior, at least from my own perspective, has really given us a certain humility. It helps us to understand not only the chimpanzee's place in nature, but our own place in relation to the rest of the animal kingdom. We used to think that there was a sharp line dividing humans on the one hand from the rest of the animal kingdom on the other. And the more we learn about the chimpanzees, the more we find that line is blurred. And this means that we should have a new respect, I think, not only for chimpanzees, but for the other amazing beings with whom we share this planet.